Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, by now you should realize that there are an awful lot of times in the pastoral epistles where Paul warns Timothy and Titus, because, of course, that's the other pastoral epistle, to be on guard against false doctrine. It's a theme that comes up over and over and over and over again. Why is that so little emphasized today in American Christianity when it is so much emphasized in the New Testament scriptures? That's a very troubling question, and we will get back into the passage that we're looking at now in 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 19, after I welcome you to this Monday, January 24 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent upon the financial support of our radio listeners in order to remain on the air. All right, here's what it says, 2 Timothy 2:16, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Well, we've pretty well covered the first three of these four verses, where Paul is telling Timothy to avoid both false doctrine and false teachers. He is to avoid them, and he is to instruct others to avoid them. He is to teach the pastors under his supervision how to detect false doctrine and how to deal with false teachers. A very important part of ministerial training. How to detect false doctrine, how to deal with false teachers. And he even personalized, as you recall, the danger by naming two men who were false teachers, so that there could be no question about their identity, and no question about the kinds of people that he is telling Timothy and other ministers, and other Christians for that matter, to avoid. And he says, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They are the very kinds of people I'm talking about, and the kind of error that I'm talking about is their teaching that the resurrection is past when it's not. That's an interesting one. It ought to be obvious. There hasn't been any resurrection except Christ's. And the Bible tells us that Christ is the first fruits of those who sleep, and that believers will be raised to glorified condition, with glorified bodies, like Jesus was raised with a glorified body when he came out of the grave. So far, he's the only one who has experienced this resurrection, because his happened 3 days after his crucifixion, and as the Bible tells us, he is the first fruits of those who slept. And if you know anything about the first fruits concept of the Old Testament scriptures, the first fruits offering was the offering that came at the beginning of the harvest, and it spoke of the promise of the full harvest to come. So there was an acknowledgement of the first harvest in anticipation of the full harvest. Jesus, in his resurrection from the dead, is the acknowledgement of the doctrine of the resurrection, tells us what to expect And it is an anticipation of the full harvest of resurrected believers that will come when the Lord returns. So, to teach that the resurrection is past already is to, in some way, change the concept of the resurrection. In one way or another, that's what has to be done. You have to change it from a bodily resurrection to some kind of a spiritual resurrection. You have to make it synonymous with the new birth, raised to newness of life, and so forth and so on. We've talked about these things. So in one way or another, you have to change the plain teaching of Scripture and distort it and then turn it into something else. That's what I'm talking about, says Paul. That's what I'm telling you to watch out for. That's what I'm telling you to avoid. And the kind of people who do this, I'm telling you, you've got to mark them and avoid them and warn about them and watch out for them. These people who are distorting Scripture. It's not that they are abandoning the label Christian and abandoning what they consider to be the Christian religion. They've just distorted it. They've just changed it into something else. They've just altered what the Bible says at this point or that point. And so that's what you've got to watch out for. But now, here is something that is encouraging. If there's something to avoid in verses 16 through 18, there's something to understand in verse 19 that is immensely encouraging. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having the seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Well, now that is a short statement, but it is a profound thought. Let's take some of the words. This is the solid foundation that undergirds it all. The solid foundation of God stands. It's not threatened by false teaching and false teachers. It's not threatened by the errors and the weaknesses which we find permeating Christianity. The foundation of God's truth, the foundation of the true church, is not harmed by this at all. The solid foundation of God stands. So it's not going to be overthrown. And it has this seal, namely, the Lord knows who are His. It has this seal. A seal is a mark of ownership. It is evidence of authenticity. It is a means of security. It has this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Now, as I say, that's a profound statement, and that's a mouthful. The problem with the false teachers and with false teaching is that it tends to make it very difficult to tell who's who. That's the problem. When you start distorting Christianity, and pretty soon you've got these people over here who are teaching something contrary to the Bible, but they call it Christianity, and you've got somebody else over here teaching something else contrary to the Bible, but they call it Christianity. All these people claim to be Christians, and sometimes it is very difficult to tell, isn't it? Got all these different churches, all these different denominations, all these different doctrines, all these different people, and even within the various denominations, it's very difficult sometimes to tell who's who within those. Because what you've got many times are denominations or groups of Christians whose official doctrine is obviously wrong, is obviously seriously wrong. If it's wrong about the way of salvation, if it's wrong about the person and work of Christ, if it's wrong about the nature of the triune Godhead, if it's wrong about some of these things, then of course it's obviously, seriously wrong. But you often have people within these organizations who probably don't fully believe what their church teaches. In other words, you may have some born-again people in apostate churches. Very confusing, very difficult. So I can say on the basis of Scripture that this is an apostate church. This is an apostate organization if the church teaches something that is contrary to the foundational truth of the Bible when it pertains to the person and work of Christ, when it pertains to the work of salvation. When you get that wrong, you are heretical. Hymenaeus and Philetus were heretics because they taught something that was contrary to the biblical doctrine of the resurrection, and that pertains to the person and work of Christ. Christ rose bodily from the grave and promised that when he comes again, he will likewise raise all of his people in a similar resurrection. So that's foundational. That has to do with the person and work of Christ, as well as the promise of his return. Well, you find somebody who's denying that, who's teaching that Christ didn't rise bodily from the grave, he only rose spiritually from the grave, like the spirit of Abraham Lincoln lives on, and the spirit of George Washington lives on, and the spirit of who knows what, Stonewall Jackson lives on, the spirit of Jesus Christ lives on, and it lives on probably in greater power and with greater effect than the spirits of all these others that I've mentioned. And so we have people who actually teach that that's the resurrection of Christ, and that's all it is. What are they? Heretics? And if people like that are allowed to teach in Christian pulpits and Christian schools, then that marks their organization as apostate. Apostasy means departure from the faith. Heresy is anything that is contrary to the truth, and it can be taught by somebody who used to be a Christian or somebody who never was. It could be taught by somebody who used to be Orthodox or claimed to be, and now it's revealed that they really aren't, so there's been a departure. So when there's a departure, an obvious departure, that's apostasy. When there's just a distinction, a false teaching, then that's heresy. In other words, the word heresy is the big word. It applies to anything that's contrary to the Christian faith. And apostasy is a narrower word that applies specifically to those who have defected from orthodoxy. So here's a denomination. Here's a seminary. Here's a church that welcomes heretics, some of whom may be apostates and some of whom may never have been Orthodox. But they are teaching in schools that were founded as Orthodox Christian schools and probably at one time at least had a Orthodox Christian statement of faith, a creed which they believed, and they are attached to denominations that one time were Orthodox and at one time had an Orthodox Christian creed, but now they tolerate heresy. The denomination is riddled with it. Not just one example, one occasional example here or there, but the denomination is riddled with it. Well, what are we to make of that? We know that denomination is apostate. Does that mean everybody in it is going to hell? Not necessarily. Well, isn't that confusing? Here's the clarity. Here's the encouraging thing. The Lord knows those who are His. And we'll have to stop with that and take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.